We'll be looking in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter this morning, just a few verses. We're going to try to get started back in Romans February, so just one or two more times before you get back into this. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through a long series of there are some things that, you know, that gets on your heart, things that you need to, I feel like I need to, and then I get confined with the text that I had planned. And so these are some things here that, these have been some sermons that I believe that from my heart that need to be conveyed from God's Word. And so we got a couple of more of those, and then we'll get back into Romans. When you go through 1 Thessalonians, you'll see that Paul had been encouraging the church to be an imitator or a follower of Christ rather than a pretender of the faith. He exhorted them to have a life of godliness before men. And clearly we need those who are genuine and sincere about their faith in this world today. The church at Thessalonica faced some intense persecution and opposition. But even in the face of this mounting opposition they were facing, they wouldn't be deterred. They stood. And they were confident in their faith, and they were committed to serving God. We'll get to that in a little bit about how that connects in real life with us today. But the text this morning, it deals with two types of people. The oppressed and the oppressors. But even in the face of this mounting opposition, we're going to see, look at it from both sides. We're going to see the oppressors and what scripture, the ones who are oppressed, and the side of the oppressors. In Ephesians, in 6:13, is where I got the title for this and kind of the overall theme. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. To stand. And so I want to preach on that thought. Having done all, stand. And so as we look at the verses this morning in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verses 14 through 16. Once again, your translation is going to be different because I've already translated the book of 1 Thessalonians. So this is going to be my translation again. For you all yourselves, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus, which are in Judea. For you all suffered the same things by your own countrymen, just as they themselves did suffer by the Jews. I want to take this apart a little bit. It'll set the stage for what was going on and why the message this morning. And was there association here? This is something that I think that it can't be overly stressed. This is the fourth time in the book of 1 Thessalonians that Paul has referred to them as brethren. He is reminding them yet again of their association to him, to the church, and to the Lord. They were not in this and of this by themselves. You look around, sometimes it feels like our churches are by themselves. We are having small numbers, and all of our churches are experiencing the same thing. It's pretty depressing at times when you think of it. And you wonder, What's going to happen? Are we by ourselves? Do you realize how many brothers and sisters that we have that are not here, that are in other places? It's not just us. And he was trying to tell them, they were a part of the church and they belong to God. I don't care who you are, what you look like, what you've done in the past. If you're a saved child of God, we belong to each other and we are part of the same family. And it's number one, the number one thing he wanted to communicate here, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the children of God, the true children of God, are born again. They're redeemed and they're set free from sin. That's who we are as children of God. And we have an advocate with the Father. He stands and he pleads our case when we sin. And we have the comfort. We have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Life is much easier to bear when we consider whom we belong to. You need to cut this a little bit. It's echoing back. Thank you. We need to consider whom we belong to. And when we do that, it's much easier for life and its problems and trials for us to bear. You see, being a part of the church brings us comfort. And it also ought to challenge us. It ought to obligate us to maintain our fellowship and our walk with the Lord. By us coming together reminds us of who we are. And that we're not, as individuals, just blindly following whatever, you know, either the Lord or the world, but we are together. And when one of us goes off the path, we can help the one another. It's important that we understand, and for Paul to write to the people at Thessalonica, that they were brothers in it together. You know the saying, you know, our family may fight like cats and dogs, but when you mess with my brother or my brother or my sister or my mama, my daddy, guess what? Guess what? This is the boat we're in. The second time Paul speaks of the church being as being followers. In your Bible it probably says followers. Clearly he's emphasized the importance of following the Lord. And there's a difference between following after somebody and another thing of imitating that person. So when I translated, I made it imitators. Be ye imitators of the churches of God. Take the pattern, follow their pattern. Look like them. Now, clearly, he's emphasizing the points of following the Lord and the teachings of the Word. And surely you would agree that we need to be followers. In fact, we need to imitate the Lord, you know, and be imitators of the Lord. And be imitators of His righteousness. We ought to be like Jesus more every day. And that's really easy to say, isn't it? But the reality is, are we? You see, we ought to be in a state of transformation unto His likeness. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. In other words, God wants us to be like Him. Now, I don't want anyone here to go as, okay, I'm there. I'm a carbon copy of Christ. Well, automatically you're not. Because you just lied. But our lives should be changing to become and to look more like Him. Now, Romans 12, verse 2 tells us this, and you've heard this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but let God change you slowly and surely, but let Him begin to make great changes in you. You should, spiritually speaking, you should not look the same as you did when you were first converted. You should look different. And if you haven't changed spiritually, then there's only one or two things. Either you're really not a child of God, or you've stunted your growth by turning away from God in your life. One or the other. Because if you allow God to change you, He will change you. It's interesting that Paul mentioned that we were followers. Notice this. He didn't say followers of him. He said followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, which are in Jesus Christ. This is important. Because it speaks volumes. The churches in Judea were Jewish churches. They had been pulled from the ranks of the Jewish religion. And they considered themselves still to be the Jews. But they were believers and followers of Christ in a city of steep legalism. And these churches were persecuted by their own people. The cultures from the Judean churches and the churches of the Thessalonica churches, which were of Gentile or Greek people, were so different. Judea had a different lifestyle than Thessalonica. And so what Paul is telling them, follow the pattern when it comes to persecution. Follow them. See what they're doing. And make that an example. So, because they weren't prejudiced or judgmental when they were following their example of godliness. The church in Thessalonica had suffered much by their own countrymen. Those who knew them best had persecuted them the most. Have you figured that out yet? You always beat up on the ones you care the most about, it seems. And much of their opposition wasn't those from outside. It wasn't a foreign country coming in. Their persecution came from their own people. Against brothers and sisters who said, "What are you doing practicing that religion?" And that, there was a tremendous amount of persecution. Families were in turmoil because when one broke off from the norm of the day. And that's the sad reality. But it's true. We often face hurtful and even damaging opposition from those who we would never expect. Often those who know us best can hurt us worst. And so Paul revealed an interesting statement. He said, even as they have of the Jews. He is speaking of the adversity that the Jewish churches had faced from their own countrymen, the Jews. The persecution was intense. They no longer were Jewish people. The Christian Jews were. They were persecuted on every road. And it was by Jews themselves. Now, the church in Jerusalem so was not immune to the suffering and the difficulty, and neither were the Thessalonians. And this was a reality that they needed to accept. The enemy will not stand by and just do nothing while the church prospers. The enemy will not stand idly by while the church prospers. Now, this didn't appear to be an encouragement, but it confirmed some things in Paul's heart. They were doing enough to be noticed, to be persecuted for. You see, they were fruitful for the Lord, and they were attacked because they were being fruitful for the Lord. And I certainly don't welcome or look forward to adversity, but I certainly would hope that we'd be doing enough for God that we'd be considered to be attacked. Yeah, you think about it. If we're not doing what God wants to do, Satan will leave us alone. Our opposers will leave us alone. But when we start actually doing what God wants and we start seeing fruit so that you can expect to be attacked. And the church at Thessalonica was being attacked. And so Paul says, they're doing something right. Let's look in verse, in matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It will not get easier in this day and time to stand and live for the Lord. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, it was easy. The moral culture of the society was, hey, you shouldn't cuss. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't fuss. You shouldn't, you know, all these things. And you should get, you know, you shouldn't ever take God's name in vain. You should never steal from a church. You should never, you know what I mean? There was this culture that said put God high, even though they might not have lived it, they put God on a pedestal. God's no longer on that pedestal in this society today. People think that they can do whatever they want to do and despise God, claiming to deny Him. Our culture is not going to get better in that sense. And if we stand for God and we live our lives according to the way He wants us to live it, expect persecution. Expect it. In verse 15 it says, the ones who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and they're not pleasing to God and opposed to all men. Now Paul here is speaking specifically to the Jews who sought to hinder the gospel and oppress the church. Much of what he spoke had already happened prior to the founding of the Thessalonica church. But it reveals the true character of those who seek to hinder the gospel. And this gives us valuable insight in our day. You see, whether they be Jew or Gentile, those who seek to oppress the church are much the same. Whether they're in Israel, or whether they're in Thessalonica, or whether they're in the United States of America, whether they're in Arkansas, or whether they're in Mapleville, they're the same. And so, when he says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and Paul speaks of the deviant character of those who opposed the Lord and His truth, they were committed to preventing the message of the gospel. They hated the Lord, consenting to the death of an innocent man. They were even willing to kill their own prophets if the message they was not what they wanted to hear. Being a prophet of God in the majority of the Old Testament life was not easy. You've heard the phrase, kill the messenger. And it's true. There are a lot of folks today who don't want the gospel's message spread. You think about it, these same folks says there's not even a God. Can you tell me why they hate God so much?
why they hate his message so much if he's not even real? This reminds me of the lengths that Satan and those who follow him will go to accomplish their purpose, opposing the church. The world stopped nothing. It will stop at nothing to silence the voice of the gospel. It's evident that many today have made their life goal to hinder and oppose the gospel. That's not overkill, guys. I want you to, and this may be censored, I don't know. I want you to know something. They're censoring a whole lot of stuff right now, claiming it's hate speech. And we let it, if we don't stand against it, it very well could end up being an attack upon churches and the speech of churches. Now, 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have said it in that way. And I wouldn't have been as confident. But in lieu of the recent events in this country today, let me tell you something. We have to stand. Or else we lose the right in this country to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ openly and without fear. Now, I will tell you this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be spread one way or the other, no matter what happens. And this determination continues today around the world and even here in America. The gospel is under more intense attack today than it's been in generations. You have the rise of Islam. That's a key player in that attack. You see and have been seeing the difference between what's allowed under the religion's name and what's not. Islam can do what can be spread through. The hate and the violence of Islam can be spread all over the internet without recourse. I don't even have to go to the other extreme, do I? Yes. Our own government is careful not to offend the Muslim, but they're quick to oppress the Christian. And if we're not careful, everything that ever happens in this world is going to be blamed on the Christian. They know it works. They've tried it, and they know it works. And so you'll hear bad things about Christians, about God, about how we're silly and stupid and superstitious, and about how we need brains, and about how we're just not serious people because we believe in a fairy tale. You will hear it. You'll hear about every attack is going to be Christian based because God told someone to do it. That's what you'll hear. We need to take a stand. They believe that those who stand for truth are the problem. And that they are the ones that are truly pleasing God. You see, they are not pleasing God to God and opposed to all men. You'd say, well, I want to be on the winning side. I don't want to be the oppressed. I'd rather be the oppressor. Would you really? They are not pleasing to God and opposed to all men. They're not pleasing to God. The religious Jews actually thought they pleased God with their rejection of Jesus and their opposition to the church. They were blinded to the truth. And they are contrary and hostile to all who preach truth. I want to tell you a little secret. Many today think they're doing the world a favor. And some even believe they are right with God when they attack the church. You see, many are no longer willing to stand. And many are no longer willing to proclaim truth because they want to please men. Some here at home would rather compromise doctrine for the sake of cooperation than confront people with the truth of God's Word. You see, we live in an age of political correctness. They believe in peace, love. You can't judge anybody. They believe that we should never point our fingers and say sin is a sin, and then to point to scriptures to prove it. Well, isn't that what God wants? Hey, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, God's in control. These are people who never taken away from God's word the truth. In order to compromise, they will go along with the world. Homosexuality is a sin before God. I can't change that. I can't pretty it up. And so is lying. And so is murder. And the list goes on and on. And so when we look at these things in Scripture, and then we compare it to what the world's values are, is attempted to say, well, I'm going to have a whole nother philosophy. And I'm going to condemn anyone who will stand upon it. Today, you remember how I said homosexuality is a sin? I kind of leaned in a little bit. Because that's what, you know, it's you never know if you're going to be condemned with hate speech. The political correctness is everywhere. And so what we find is even Christians today, those who profess to know and love God, are attacking other believers, brethren, because they have the gall to believe what God has said in His Word. I believe it. And we have to stand upon it. Some of our most crucial hurts in against our churches are from other churches. The stands that they take. The stands they take on the things that are just absolutely wrong in God's Word. And it becomes their norm. And it fights against the truth. They believe that those who stand for the truth are the problem. And that they are the ones who are truly pleasing God. Those people today who ignore God's Word and try to come up with paradise on this world and believe that they can do anything they want to and still please God, they think that we're the problem for judging them. And they attack us for it. We're going to look at the corruptors. In verse 16. While hindering us to speak to the Gentiles in order that they might be saved, so that their sins always fill up. But wrath happened on them to the end. You see, these actually sought to forbid Paul to share the gospel of the Gentiles. You say, that doesn't happen today. Oh, yes, it does. It is amazing the difference when someone finds out that I'm a preacher. It's the difference. All of a sudden, things can change with people for good or for bad. There's some folks that don't want their kids to come to church. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want you proclaiming the gospel. They don't want their kids caught up in religion. You see, they had no concern for them or their need for salvation. They just want, and we have lots of church folks from all denominations who have the same feeling. Well, we don't want to make somebody feel like they're a sinner. We want to uplift them. We want to make them feel good about themselves and about how God can give them stuff in life. And how dare you talk about hell? How dare you talk about their need of salvation? Can you imagine getting on national TV and declaring that on a talk show or something and declaring that all men have sinned and therefore they're dying and going to hell? And the guy looks up, the interviewer, you mean I'm going to go to hell? And you have to look him back in the face and say, in the eyes and say, yes, you are, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know how easy it would be for the attacks to happen at that point? Let me give you an example. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, was on national TV several years back. And he said these words, there is only one way to God and to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Do you know how he was attacked? And it wasn't just by people who hate God. It was by, quote, religious people who said, oh, no, no, no. You're condemning Muslims to hell. You're condemning all these other groups to hell. No. This is the fight that we're fighting today. They were seeking to forbid Paul to share the gospel. These hard-hearted Jews could have cared less if all the Gentile race remained in their sin. And that's quite ironic when you think about it. They haven't even received the gospel themselves. But it was their God, and they were His children, the children of Israel, and they didn't want to share everlasting life with everyone else. The word forbidding actually carries the idea of hindering. They did everything they could to hinder Paul and his work. But we're finding this today, that Satan is using all the tools at his command to hinder the work of Jesus Christ today in a way that is so blatant and bold that I wouldn't have imagined it years ago. I wouldn't imagine it a year ago. But the rebellious Jews were unable to prevent the gospel from spreading, and man is inadequate for it to keep it from spreading today. There is nothing that can be done that will keep God's word, God's gospel, from being spread. There will always be those who seek to hinder the church and the gospel, but we serve one who is more than able to overcome the will of man and accomplish His divine will. We must trust the Lord by faithfully proclaiming the gospel and just leave the results up to Him. Guys, this is what we're supposed to do. I know I want to solve all the world's problems right now. I want to solve this country's problems. I would love to do that. And therefore think that in some way that we can change things. But that's not my job as a child of God, and it's not yours either. Our job is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying people. Do we really want to change this nation? Do we really want to change the evil social values of this world? The only way that can possibly happen is if people come to know Jesus Christ. And if we're so concerned about the issues that are the symptoms of the real problem, we'll never get to the heart of the matter, and that is changing their heart for Christ. You see, we must trust the Lord by faithfully proclaiming the gospel, leaving the results up to Him. The Bible tells us His word will not return void. He says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. These people had one priority, and that was to please the flesh. They just wanted to please themselves. They carried religion upon their sleeves. Oh yeah, these were religious people. The Jews believed in the same God, Yahweh. And they were religious. The Thessalonians were religious. They were religious over pagan gods. But they believed in worshiping a God. And they wore the religion on their sleeves. They were determined to satisfy the flesh while pretending to serve the Lord. And their hearts were filled with sin continually. Things have not changed in this generation. And as long as men have walked upon this earth, there will be those whose sole desire is to please the flesh. They could care less about anyone else. And that should be no surprise. The flesh presents the greatest battle to
to us anyway. And that's why it's so important that we deny the flesh about what we want, about how we feel, and seek the Lord. In Romans 13, 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." This world is full of that. Now, these people that were persecuting the Thessalonians and the people who were persecuting the Jews would create difficulty for a time. But God had not overlooked their wicked ways. He will ultimately judge those that deny His tender mercies and those who seek to hinder the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in the midst of some difficult times. But the church is going to prevail. All I'm waiting for is a trumpet. You realize that? I'm waiting for a trumpet to sound. And then the church will be received up. Our job will be done. But until then, we must stand. You see, we may face more adversity than we could possibly imagine, but God will prevail. He'll protect us. He'll take care of us. One day He'll receive us unto Himself. The trumpet sounds and we'll be with Him. Now the world will be left as the salt lost its savor. You know, salt taken out and the world just goes nuts. But not till then. Up till then, our purpose is to spread the gospel. And yes, there will be those oppose us, but guess what? We just continue to spread it. Whatever way. If they shut the churches down, we'll go Facebook. And we'll do it on Facebook. They shut us down on Facebook, then what are we going to do? Well, we start knocking on neighbors' doors. We start doing other things. Now, I know where that leads, if they're really intent. But guess what? God's word will not come return void. We've become spoiled. Yes, we have. But at some point, we have to do the work. And that we're going to require all of us. The church is not going down. The church is going up. The church is going up. So, in Romans 2, 9 and 10. So what about those who oppose the church and hurt the church? Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There will be punishment for those who hinder the work of the Lord. I don't want to be on their side. I don't want to be on the oppressor's side. I want to be on the oppressed. Because I know how it ends. So by many outward appearances, it may appear that the oppressors have the upper hand on the oppressed. But one day the tables will be turned. We are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. So we must not allow the difficulties of the labors to hinder our labors of our faith. You see, when we've done all we can, we're limited, but when we've done all we can, then we need to stand. Just stand. So where are we? Where are we with Christ today? Are we children of God? Are we brothers and sisters in Christ? Have we been persecuted? I suggest to you that if we haven't been persecuted, maybe we're not doing the things that God wants us to do in our lives and in our church. Do you know Christ is your Savior? You realize that you hinder the spread of the gospel when you hear the gospel and don't receive it? So are you willing to embrace the gospel and receive Christ? Or do you stand in opposition to what is godly and true? I hope you don't. I hope this morning that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and that you will say yes to Him this morning. Christ came to save sinners. And so if there's hope, there is hope for you if you've never known Christ as your Savior. Having done all sin, there's only so much, and I will tell you this, there's been times when I felt pretty much useless over this, especially this past year. Wondering what can I do? How can we do? What should we do? There are lots of decisions that need to be made, and being angry at certain things that happen in the world today, and the lies, the things, the apparent persecution of churches. I won't say persecution. I will say this. We were treated differently because we're churches. But all of this, what was I to do? How could I make it better? How can I fix things? And then I come to the realization, I can only do what I can do. And what was I called to do? Preach the Word of God. What were you called to do? To spread the Word of God. It's the only thing that we can do. And so let's stand upon it. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I just know that there's more to this life than what our eyes can see. I know that there's a spiritual war going on right now that we cannot see. I know this battle is taking place between the forces of darkness and the forces of God. And you know what this battle is about? The soul of man, of a particular person, of a man, a woman, a child. This war is not evident. But I'll tell you, that battle is going on in this room today. Going on across this nation in churches and in homes all over the place, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ is touching and penetrating the men and women's hearts. And now is the time to make that decision. If it's touching your heart, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then this is the time. You see, this is all I can do, is invite you to come. As a lost person, invite you to come and know my Jesus. He said, "Good friend, what about us? We know Christ." And then Michael, these imitators, stand. Stand for what God has proclaimed to be true in His Word. And look forward to the spread the Word of God, and look forward to the day when you hear that coming. You know what? Everything else is in His hands. Everything else is